If you have your Bibles, turn if you please to our text this morning, Daniel chapter 2 and verses 1 to 49. We continue in our series, Dare to be a Daniel. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 to 49. And since we read the first 23 verses earlier, we will start at verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Now let's pray. Lord, such awesome words about all the kingdoms that have not only come and gone in the past, but also the kingdoms that are coming in the future. I pray, Lord, as we leave this church today, we'd be convinced more than ever that you have a plan for history and a plan for the ages. Be reminded, Lord, of how desperately you want us to know you so that we can be a part of what you're going to do in the world. Lord, we just ask you to come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. One night, 65 years ago, while Paul McCartney of the Beatles was sleeping, he had a dream about a melody of a song, kind of a slow-sounding song that he heard from beginning to end. And when he woke up, he wrote down the whole score. And then after he waited about a month to make sure that song wasn't something that he'd heard, that somebody else had done, he and John Lennon wrote some words for it. And when it was released, it was the number one song in America for four straight weeks, that Beatles song, Yesterday. Well, the Bible tells us one night, 2,600 years ago, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had a dream too. Only that dream wasn't about yesterday, it was about today and tomorrow and the future. A dream that we need to know about too if we're ever going to be ready for the future coming of the Lord. The text you have in front of us this morning tells us all about it. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series called Dare to Be a Daniel, looking at all kinds of things that we need to do in order to stand up and be a Daniel in the times we're living in. Last week we saw that in order to be a Daniel, we need to separate for God from the world. And today we see that in order to be a Daniel, we need to get revelation from God to the world. And to see that, we turn this morning to Daniel chapter 2 and verses 1 to 49. In Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that's revelation from God. And in our text today, Daniel interprets that dream and shares that revelation with other people. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we Christians need to share that exact same revelation with the people around us, or they are never going to be ready for the second coming of Christ. Our text this morning, Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 to 49, tells us three things that we need to do in order to be a Daniel and share that revelation like God wants us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to share that revelation, we need to understand what it is, which is exactly what all the Babylonians do not understand here in verses 1 to 13. Now, verse 1, one night during the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that freaks him out. And not because he ate a triple lupa or binge-watched The Walking Dead before he went to bed. It was revelation from God. And why would God give a dream to a pagan Babylonian king? Because God wants all people, all races, all times and all places to know Him and what He's doing in the world. Which is exactly the reason why God gives revelation to start with. Which is exactly the reason why God gives revelation to everybody. The only question is, who's paying attention to it? Amen. Now, revelation is everything that God shows us that we wouldn't otherwise know if God hadn't shown it to us. There's natural revelation through nature that shows us that there is a God. Romans chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Then there's special revelation in the Bible and Jesus Christ that shows us who God is and what He has for us. And especially the gospel, that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, came down to this earth in human form and died on a cross to pay the price for our sin and then rose from the dead to give salvation to absolutely anybody who turns to Him in repentance and faith. The greatest revelation of all. And because God is the original dream weaver, sometimes He reveals things to people through dreams and visions, just like He did here with King Nebuchadnezzar. But the problem is, Nebuchadnezzar doesn't have a clue what it means. So he calls his wise men to tell him what the dream means, because it was part of their job description. Now, wise men in Babylon back then had a catalog called the Book of Dreams, divided into sections and subjects and explanations. So if you had a dream about a horse, you turn to the section on horses. There was the explanation. If you had a dream about an arrow, you turn to the section on arrows. But the problem is, that book didn't do you any good at all if you didn't know what the dream was ahead of time. So verse 4, the wise men say, okay, Nebuchadnezzar, tell us what the dream was. We'll tell you what it means. Verse 5, Nebuchadnezzar says, no. If you're really legit, you'll not only give me an interpretation, you'll tell me what the dream was itself in all of its details. And if you can't, why are you here? And if you don't, I'm going to cut you to pieces. All the wise men of Babylon, Daniel and his friends included, even though they weren't even there. Kind of like when your wife says, we need to talk. And you say, okay, what about? And she says, you tell me. You should know. Guys, you know exactly how those wise men were feeling. So verse 10, They say, but that's way above our pay grade. There's not a man on earth who can do that. And they're right. And verse 11, the only ones who know that are the gods. And they don't live among men. Meaning we human beings have no access to them. But see, we Christians do. Because we have access to the only real God there is. Jesus Christ, because 2,000 years ago, He came down to this earth in human form and did live among us. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Nebuchadnezzar gets revelation from God, but the sad thing is, he doesn't understand it. All kinds of people today get revelation from God and don't understand it either.
Amen.
Last September the 30th, at the Youth Climate Change Initiative in Milan, Italy, 18-year-old climate change messiah St. Greta Thunberg said this to world leaders.
There is no planet B. There is no planet blah, 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 blah. This is not about some expensive, politically correct green act of bunny hugging or blah, blah, blah. Build back better, blah, blah, blah. Green economy, blah, blah, blah. Net zero by 2050, blah, blah, blah. Net zero, blah, blah, blah. Climate neutral.
Now, Greta Thunberg is not a scientist. She does not have a science degree. She dropped out of school when she was 12, for crying out loud. So most of what she says is just blah, blah, blah. Amen. Because here's some of the real facts about so-called man-made climate change. CO2 is not a pollutant. All carbon-based living things breathe out CO2. That CO2 then feeds green plants that in turn produce oxygen and complete the life cycle. There is no solid proof whatsoever that human activity is increasing the temperature of the planet. Extreme weather events have not increased in frequency or intensity over the last 100 years. Centuries of records prove that the Earth goes through warming and cooling cycles, which are all dependent on warming and cooling cycles of the sun, not human activity. And there's so many polar bears in the polar regions today, they're overpopulated. And even better, here's God's revelation on it. Psalm 115, verse 16, the heavens belong to the Lord our God, but the earth He has given to the sons of men. And Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God has given us human beings dominion over this planet, which means God gave us planet earth to use, including all the resources and the oil and coal that God specifically put here for us to use.
Amen.
So Greta Thunberg doesn't even know what she doesn't know. And what's even worse, she is leading an entire generation of brainwashed disciples straight to hell because they're trying to save the planet instead of trusting the God who created the planet to save them. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people perish for lack of knowledge and revelation. And sadly enough, it's not just true for people because the future of entire nations depends on obeying that revelation from God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God reveals one of the greatest principles for blessing and cursing. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. And man, oh man, has that ever been proven true over the last 5 years? When Donald Trump was president of the United States, he blessed Israel in all kinds of ways. He banned all federal agencies from joining the BDS boycott, divest, and sanction movement against Israel. He canceled President Obama's Iran nuke deal that was allowing terrorists to build nuclear weapons for an attack against Israel. Because the Palestinians are always putting the kibosh on Middle East peace plans. 2020, President Trump completely bypassed the Palestinians and got the Abraham Accords. Peace treaties signed directly between Israel and all kinds of Muslim nations in the Middle East. 2017, President Trump moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and became the first world leader since Persian's King Cyrus in Daniel's day to acknowledge that Jerusalem really was the capital of Israel. And the Jewish people absolutely loved President Donald Trump. And what happened to America as a result of his policies toward Israel? Blessings. We were respected by our allies and feared by our enemies. President Trump created the greatest economy in the history of the whole wide world with record low unemployment for minorities. And for the first time in modern history, the United States of America was totally energy dependent of every single Muslim country in the world. Those who bless Israel will be blessed. You ain't just whistling Dixie. But then 2020, Joe Biden got in the White House. and immediately started being a curse to Israel. He resurrected the Iran nuke deal so the terrorists can blow the Jews to kingdom come. His party canceled a $1 billion bill that was supposed to help Israel pay for their Iron Dome missile defense system. And Joe Biden gave the Palestinians $125 million, a lot of which has already been used to attack the Jews. And then just past September the 21st, Joe Biden said this at the United Nations. Israel's only hope for ever being safe is to give up some land to create a Palestinian state, which is directly opposite of what God says in Joel chapter 3 verse 2, that any country that tries to divide the land of Israel is going to be destroyed. I could go on and on. And what's happened to America as a result of Joe Biden's policies toward Israel? Curses. Our enemies are laughing at us. Our national debt is going up $2 million a minute. We're paying people to stay home while we've got 10 million open jobs. Inflation is going up. The murder rate is up 30%. We can't pay our own bills. We can't win our own wars. And men and women in America don't even know if they're boys or girls anymore. Those who curse Israel will be cursed? Absolutely. Read them and weep. You obey God's revelation, you will be blessed. You disobey God's revelation, you will be cursed, because that revelation is the word of life. There's people listening to this sermon right now, sitting right here in these seats. You're not a Christian. You've never prayed to receive Christ as your Savior. Today, I set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Today, right here, right now, you choose to obey that revelation from God and receive the blessing of life in Jesus Christ. The first thing we need to do in order to share this revelation, we need to understand what it is. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to share that revelation. We not only need to understand what it is, we also need to understand what it means. And that's exactly what Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar here, verses 14 to 45. But notice how careful Daniel is to give God the credit for it. Back in chapter 1, verse 17, God gave Daniel the gift of interpreting dreams. So verses 14 to 16, Daniel goes to Nebuchadnezzar and volunteers. Then notice verses 17 and 18, Daniel calls a prayer meeting with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, praying for their lives that God would reveal the details of that dream to Daniel and the meaning. And finally, verse 19, God does, by giving Daniel a vision of it. And why? Verse 28, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't interpret the meaning of that dream. His wise men couldn't interpret the meaning of that dream. Daniel couldn't interpret the meaning of that dream. But see, God could. Through Daniel. Now what this dream is an overview of world history. A five-part statue, each part made of a different material that represents a series of different kingdoms that rule the world. Head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, and feet and toes made out of iron mixed with clay. To Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar, the first four kingdoms were present and future. But from our perspective, the first four kingdoms are long since past and gone. The head of gold, the Babylonian Empire. Verse 38. Gold, because even though other empires that came after were bigger or lasted longer, no dictator that ever lived after him had as much power as Nebuchadnezzar had in Babylon. Chest and arms of silver was the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians that conquered the Babylonians in 539 BC. And then they ruled the known world until they were conquered by the belly and thighs of bronze, the Greeks, under Alexander the Great. And then they ruled the known world until they were conquered in 63 BC by the legs of iron, the Iron Legions, the Roman Empire. And then the Roman Empire finally fell to the Huns in 486 AD. So four successive kingdoms. And you know what? Daniel absolutely nails it. Because history proves every single detail of that dream that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar was true. And you know why? Because God is not only the Lord of heaven, He's also the Lord of earth. The reason that God can predict history is because He controls it. And after the fall of Rome Every evil dictator who tried to rule the world in an evil way fell too. Adolf Hitler's thousand-year Reich only lasted 12 years. The Soviet Union, that was supposed to be the mothership for communism on earth for centuries to come, lasted 74 years. Saddam Hussein's New Babylonian Empire lasted 26. What does the Bible say? What are the kingdoms on earth? What are the nations of men to God? Just a drop in a bucket, dust on the scale, just tinker toys to Him. Now, verses 41 on tell us that the rest of the statue, the feet and the toes made out of iron and clay, they're in our future too, something yet to come. And what this means, there's another evil kingdom coming out of the previous one, the Roman Empire. A kingdom that has at least 10 countries, 10 toes in it. And we know that that's coming out of the European Union because a lot of the countries that make up the European Union today are the same countries that made up the old Roman Empire. And notice the feet and the toes made of iron mixed with clay means weakness. Because the European Union today is weak. Because the European Union today is way made up of way too many different kinds of people, way too many different kinds of religions and languages and backgrounds. So Brexit was no surprise at all. And how do we know this evil kingdom that's coming is going to come out of the European Union? The picture you see on the screen at the top is a picture of the European Union headquarters building in Strasbourg. Let me ask you, what does that look like to you? On purpose. They purposely wanted it to look like that. It looks like the Tower of Babel. The foundation of the city of Babylon. And a symbol of everything that's evil in this world. Everything that gives God the middle finger. The picture you see here is the symbol of the European Union. They use it on their flags. People, what is that? That's the great whore of Babylon. Riding the beast in Revelation chapter 17 verses 1 and 2. And years ago, when the honchos put the Constitution for the European Union together, they purposely left out altogether any reference to God or Europe's long-running Christian heritage. God help us, people. What is the European Union planning on bringing about? Now, the Bible tells us that after the rapture and all the chaos and devastation it's going to cause in the world, the Antichrist is going to come out of the European Union. And he will start the last 7 years of world history, a seven-year period known as the Great Tribulation. And he'll set up a one-world government and a one-world economy. And for the first 3.5 years, people will worship him and fall at his feet, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, because he'll cure COVID and give everybody 5G and pull the world out of a horrendous economic depression. And he'll do the impossible by getting a peace treaty signed between Israel and all the Muslim countries in the Middle East. And they'll give him a Nobel Prize and name him Time Magazine Man of the Year. But then, after the first 3.5 years, he'll reveal himself for who he really is, an agent of the devil. And he'll persecute the Jewish people to who wouldn't have it. And he will set up a statue of himself in a rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. And with the help of his propaganda minister, the false prophet, he will force everybody in the world to worship him. And those who don't will be killed. All the while, the pure wrath of God is going to be poured out on this world with all kinds of plagues and famines and diseases and natural disasters. It's going to be hell on earth. Amen. Hate to tell you this, folks, but the Bible does not say things are going to get better. The Bible says that things are just going to get worse and worse. But this vision does have a happy ending. Because verses 34 to 36, there is a rock quarried by God that comes down, hits that statue, topples it, knocks it off its feet, and turns it into kibbles and bits. And that rock is the kingdom of God that Jesus brought to this world when he came the first time, and it's just going to grow in power and glory and fill the whole earth when Jesus comes the second time. Trashing and destroying and sweeping into the garbage can of history every single king and every single kingdom that stands up against God. Amen. That's why evolution is wrong. Because history is not a story of the fight for the survival of the fittest. And Marxism is wrong. Because history is not a story of class struggle between the rich and the poor. And critical race theory is wrong because history is not a race war between black and white. They're all wrong because history is about the kingdom of God. That's where all of history is going. That's where all the world is going. And the only question this morning, are you going that direction too?
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I know somebody's asking the question, Kevin, where is the United States of America in all this? For years and years, one of the biggest questions that people have had, where in the world is the United States of America in the end times? Because America doesn't seem to be referred to anywhere in end times Bible prophecy. Now, of course, the Bible never mentions the United States because our country didn't get started until 1787. But America is the greatest, most powerful nation in the history of the whole wide world, with the strongest Christian heritage of any other country in the history of the whole wide world. So, doesn't America play any kind of a role at all in the last days? Well, I've studied this for years and years too. And if America is referred to anywhere in Bible prophecy, it's Ezekiel chapter 38 and verse 13. Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39 tell us about the battle of Gog and Magog that's going to happen right after the rapture and right before the appearance of the Antichrist, when the nation of Israel is going to be attacked by a coalition of Russia, Turkey, Iran, Libya, Ethiopia, Sudan, and some pocket change. And because every single one of those countries is all in line right now, that battle can happen at any moment. Now, Ezekiel chapter 38 verse 13 says, the merchants of Tarshish and all its villages will say to Gog and Magog, have you come to invade the land of Israel? And the merchants of Tarshish refers to some Phoenician sailors and traders that lived on the coast of Spain 3,000 years ago during the days of King Solomon. People who eventually developed into all the Western European nations that we know today, like Spain, Holland, and Great Britain. And that phrase, and their villages, the merchants of Tarshish and their villages, refers to colonies that those Western European nations established overseas or the Atlantic Ocean here in North America. And because America is the strongest one of those colonies, there is your reference to the United States of America in Bible prophecy.
Amen.
But the funny thing is, Ezekiel chapter 38 says, the United States of America, the merchants of Tarshish and all their villages, don't participate in the battle of Gog and Magog at all. They just sit back and twiddle their thumbs and ask questions. Have you come to invade the land of Israel? Which doesn't make any sense at all. Israel is being slammed on a massive scale and the United States just sits it out? Folks, it doesn't make any sense because the United States of America has always been the greatest friend that Israel's ever had except for the Lord. And every single year America gives Israel all kinds of aid to help her to protect and defend herself. So, Israel is attacked on a massive scale, and the United States of America just takes a pass. Why?
Biden.
Well, obviously, something has to happen to the United States between now and then to make her weak. Maybe Joe Biden's anti-Israel policy takes over the whole country. Maybe terrorists pull off some kind of nuclear 9/11 here. Maybe it's a financial collapse. Maybe it's a moral meltdown, some people say. But you know what it's really going to be? The rapture of the church. When Jesus Christ comes down as far as the clouds and takes hundreds of millions of Christians off this planet and takes us to heaven. Folks, do we understand what that really means? For America, that means 20 million people. 20 million people are just going to be gone. Just like that. Along with the restraining power of the Holy Spirit. So the only people left in America are going to be the folks who don't give a rip about Israel at all. No wonder America sits out the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Gog and Magog. And I know somebody's thinking, well, Kevin, that's bad news for America. Yeah, but it's good news for us Christians. Folks, we got to realize the number one thing that makes America special, she is one nation under God. You get rid of God, America's just another nation. And something else we got to remember. The very nanosecond Jesus takes us out of here and we're flying past Mars and Jupiter at warp 10, our citizenship is no longer going to be down here. It's going to be up there. And what we're going to get up there is going to more than make up for anything that we lose out on down here. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you don't believe in the rapture, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. Beam me up, Jesus. Let's get this party started.
Amen.
The second thing we need to do to share this revelation, we need to understand what it means. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to share this revelation. We not only need to understand what it is, we not only need to understand what it means, but third, we need to understand that it's true. And that's exactly what Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar do here, verses 46 to 49. Heaven's sakes, Nebuchadnezzar knows so much it's true. The most powerful kingdom on the king on the face of the earth bows down to Daniel, a foreign slave, and gives him all kinds of swag, and makes him one of the head honchos in Babylon, and has a come to Jesus moment saying, Daniel, your God is God. Daniel shares this revelation about the end times, and look at the response that he gets. So the question is, why aren't Christians talking about the end times to people today? And I've heard this a million times. Well, Kevin, all that stuff about judgments and tribulation and antichrist and Christians flying off to heaven and all the judgment and the wrath of God. It's not woke. It's not progressive. It's not seeker sensitive. The church today thinks if they never talk about the end times, it's never going to happen. Guess again. Reuters tells us 2 out of 3 Americans are dying to know what the Bible says about the last days. So for crying out loud, who's going to dare to be a Daniel and stand up and share this revelation and win people to Christ before it's too late? Because don't tell me it's not true. Because everything that's happening in the world right now shows us it's all coming together just exactly like the Bible says. The push is on for that one world religion. End of this month, Pope Francis is going to gather leaders from 40 different world religions at the UN Climate Conference in Glasgow, Scotland. You know why? Listen to what he says. Since traditional religions have not brought global unity, we wish to develop another kind of faith system that will unify the world. Can everybody say false prophet? And do you know when this unholy meeting about this demonic one world religion is going to happen? I kid you not. October 31st on Halloween. Gee, how appropriate. The push is on for that one world government of the Antichrist. The United Nations has already said that they're going to have global government within 12 years. And to help bring that about, they've come up with Agenda 2030. All kinds of things that they want to have put in place by the year 2030 to make that one global government happen. One world economy, one world currency, one world military, the end of all national sovereignty and borders, the end of all privately owned property, the end of the traditional family unit, population control, mandatory vaccines, universal basic income. I could go on and on. You say, Kevin, a lot of that stuff sounds like exactly the same things that leftists are pushing in America today. Yeah. You think that's just a coincidence? To push their socialist globalist agenda, leftists today have declared war on your constitutional rights and freedoms. Last Monday, Attorney General Merrick Garland said that the DOJ was now going to go after parents who speak up against critical race theory at school board meetings and treat them like domestic terrorists. People, this is absolutely unconscionable. Because last year, during the Summer of Love, the DOJ stood by and did absolutely nothing while Black Lives Matter terrorized major cities and killed cops and civilians and burned entire neighborhoods to the ground. Like, that wasn't domestic terrorism. But now the FBI is going to go full SWAT team mode on moms and dads exercising their God-given right to free speech. People, this is fascism. The 1930s are calling. And in case you don't realize it, what your government is trying to do right now ought to scare the living hell out of you. Here's the latest facts about the vaccines. Natural immunity from COVID is at least 17 times stronger than vaccinated immunity. People are 7 times more likely to test positive for COVID after they're vaccinated. The viral load for people hospitalized with COVID is often just as high in vaccinated people as it is in unvaccinated people. I could go on and on. And yet Joe Biden has declared war on the unvaccinated. No shirt, no shoes, no shot, no service, no job. Joe Biden has canceled all religious exemptions for federal employees. And remember that 1997 Illinois Right of Conscience Act that says you can't get vaccinated against your will? The Illinois state legislature is now working to cancel that too. Because the left is done talking. They're going to start forcing. Last September the 30th, Senator Rand Paul was grilling Health and Human Services Director Xavier Becerra. This is what he said.
Are you familiar with an Israeli study that had 2.5 million patients and found that the vaccinated group was actually 7 times more likely to get infected with COVID than the people who had gotten COVID naturally?
Senator, I'd have to get back to you on that one. I'm not familiar with that study.
Well, you think you might want to be if you're going to travel the country insulting the millions of Americans, including NBA star Jonathan Isaac, who have had COVID, recovered, look at a study with 2.5 million people and say, well, you know what? It looks like my immunity is as good as a vaccine or not. And in a free country, maybe I ought to be able to make that decision. Instead, you've chosen to travel the country calling people like Jonathan Isaac and others, myself included, flat earthers. We find that very insulting, goes against the science. Are you a doctor or a medical doctor?
I have worked over 30 years on health policy.
You're not a medical doctor. Do you have a science degree? And yet you travel the country calling people flat earthers who have had COVID, looked at studies of millions of people, and made their own personal decision that their immunity they naturally acquired is sufficient. But you presume somehow to tell over 100 million Americans who have survived COVID, that we have no right to determine our own medical care. You alone are on high, and you've made these decisions. A lawyer with
you know why leftists don't want to follow the real science? Because it's not about science. It's never been about the science. It's always only been about control. To identify all the doctors and nurses and teachers and policemen and firemen and military people who are the Christians, who are the free thinkers and who won't comply, to purge them from the ranks. It's all these vaccine mandates are all about softening us up so we'll do the next thing that they want us to do. Mandatory vaccination. Then mandatory indoctrination in public schools. Then mandatory confiscation of your rights and of your property, leading all the way to mandatory adoration of the Antichrist. Just exactly like the Bible says, God help us people.
Amen.
But here's the good news. At the end of 7 years of tribulation, the Antichrist is going to gather all the nations of the world for that final battle of Armageddon in the nation of Israel. And Israel and Jerusalem are going to be attacked. And 1/3 of all the Jews are going to be killed. And just when it looks like the Jewish people can't stand it anymore, spoiler alert for those of you who haven't read the Bible yet, Jesus Christ is going to come down from heaven. He will set his feet on the Mount of Olives east of the city of Jerusalem. He will bust into the city like he owns the place. All God's people will be saved. All God's enemies will be destroyed. The Antichrist and the devil will be cast into hell. And Jesus will reign and rule out of Jerusalem over the whole wide world for 1,000 years.
Amen.
Then after the millennium, the devil's going to be released. He'll gather up all the malcontents that still hate God and his people, and they'll march on Jerusalem. But then goodnight, Irene, and chee-chee bug, fire's going to come down from heaven and turn them all into unidentified frying objects, and it's game over. Folks, that rock that's going to come down and bust that statue in a million pieces is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again. And his second coming won't be by Zoom meeting, because Jesus is going to come down to this earth, destroy every single kingdom that's here, and set up his own kingdom that's never going to end and never going to be shaken. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 4, on that day there will be only one God and there will be only one king, and his name will be the only name. People, it's coming. And don't be afraid, because God does not give us Bible prophecy to scare us. He gives us Bible prophecy to prepare us. Jesus is coming again. Because the very last thing that Jesus said before He ascended into heaven was BRB. So let the world laugh all they want. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come. We may not be able to know the time of the or the hour, but we can certainly recognize the season, because all the signs are there. And I know there's somebody listening to me right now thinking, but Kevin, how do you know? How do you know all this stuff is really going to happen? Bible tells us, Revelation chapter 17 and 18, if there's ever going to be a last days, if there's ever going to be a battle of Armageddon, if there's ever going to be an Antichrist, there has to be a city of Babylon in the country of Iraq. Because the Bible tells us in the last days, it's not only going to be the capital city of the Antichrist, one world government and one world religion and one world economy. It's also going to be the center of everything hell on earth, everything that's evil and an abomination to God, the most powerful, the most wicked city on the face of the planet. Revelation chapter 17, verse 5. But the problem is, the city of Babylon that Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar lived in was conquered by the Persians in 539 BC. And a lot of the bricks were carted off to build the city of Baghdad. And all kinds of things happened to it since that destroyed it, but not totally. And the problem is, Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 26 prophesies that Babylon would be completely destroyed. And another end times prophecy, Isaiah chapter 13, verse 20 says, Babylon would be completely abandoned because nobody would ever live in it again. Well, the issue is, Babylon never really was totally destroyed, because the Babylonians fell to the Persians without the Persians even taking a shot. And Babylon never was totally abandoned, because some kind of people have always lived on the side of Babylon for thousands and thousands of years. So those Bible prophecies about the end times still haven't been fulfilled yet. So, for anything to be true about the end times, the old city of Babylon, somehow, some way, has to be rebuilt. And I know somebody's thinking, Kevin, fat chance of that ever happening. Well, in case you don't know, believe it or not, not only is the city of Babylon being rebuilt right now, people, it's almost finished. Back in 1971 already, UNESCO declared the site of the city of Babylon as a World Heritage Site. An Iraqi dictator, Saddam Hussein, believed that he was the reincarnation of King Nebuchadnezzar and that he had been called by Allah to rebuild the glory of the Babylonian Empire. Hanging gardens at all. And because he was sitting right in the middle of two-thirds of the world's oil supply, money was no object. So in 1979, Saddam Hussein built a major highway right down the middle of the old city of Babylon, lined with brick factories, stamping out gazillions of bricks with Nebuchadnezzar's name on one side and his name on the other. And by the time he had to stop that rebuilding effort, when America invaded Iraq in the Iraqi war in 2003, Saddam Hussein was over halfway finished and had rebuilt everything, including the Ishtar Gate and even Nebuchadnezzar's palace. And after the war, with the help of the United States of America and all kinds of other foreign countries, an organization called the War Monuments Fund started up the rebuilding again. And today, with the new Iraqi government, they're going full bore. So people, right now, the city of Babylon is two-thirds finished and there's over 350,000 people living in it. So all you skeptics who think that Bible prophecy is just fake news, don't look now, but Babylon is rising. And I know somebody's thinking, well, Kevin, that's nice. They're rebuilding the city for old time's sake. But that thing is never going to be any kind of seat of world power in the last days. Really? Because back in 2009, the United States of America built a new U.S. embassy in Iraq right next to Babylon. A huge complex, over 80 football fields big, bigger than the Vatican. The biggest embassy the United States has ever built in any country in the world. The biggest embassy ever built by any country in any other country in the world. And the question is, why in the world would the United States build an embassy the size of Disneyland right next to Babylon in Iraq? What does America know about Babylon that we don't? And here's the kicker. Way back in 2004 already, the United Nations announced, get this, they were moving their entire international headquarters, the whole kit and caboodle, from New York City to guess where? Believe it or not, to Babylon, Iraq. Here's the statement that they issued back in 2004. We are drafting a directive to move the seat of the United Nations to ancient Babel or Babylon. The move will relieve the space constraints of the New York headquarters, free it from the physical jurisdiction of the United States, and most importantly, get this, allow us to establish another final worldwide organization. What do we think that final worldwide organization is going to be? So people, the United Nations that is already working toward an evil one world government is going to be located in Babylon that the Bible says is going to be the headquarters of that evil one world government. You can't make this stuff up, people. That's the Babylon right there that Revelation chapter 17 and 18 says is going to be destroyed. Just exactly like Daniel says, just exactly like the Bible says. People, don't tell me that we're not walking around in the book of Revelation and living in the last days right now. Because everything that we see happening right now shows it's all falling into place right now in front of our very eyes. The Bible says that Babylon would fall the first time, and it did. The Bible says that Babylon would be rebuilt, and right now it is being rebuilt. The Bible says that Babylon will fall a second time, and it will. And let me ask you this morning, if we can believe all the incredible things that the Bible says about one part of the last days, don't you think we can believe all the incredible things that the Bible says about the rest of the last days?
Amen. Hallelujah.
We're talking today about sharing that revelation of the end times with other people. But the problem is, you can't share that revelation with other people if you haven't received that revelation yourself. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to the sermon. You've never prayed to receive Christ. You never confessed your sins and put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away and ask Jesus to come into your heart. You're not saved. And you need to do that right now. You need to come to Jesus Christ right now, because Jesus could come back any second. And I need to clear up something, because I continue to get questions and emails and calls about this. In the end times, there are two comings of Jesus Christ. The first coming is called the rapture, when Jesus is going to come only down, far down as the clouds, and then rapture, lift us up, take us up off this planet, and take us to heaven. Then, what comes later is what's known as the second coming of Christ, when Jesus Christ comes all the way down to this earth, literally and physically, right in the middle of the battle of Armageddon, right in the middle of God's enemies, and cleans their plow. Then Jesus will set up a literal physical kingdom on this earth and rule over the planet for 1,000 years. We know when the second coming of Christ is going to happen. That's at the end of the tribulation during the battle of Armageddon. We don't know when the first coming of Christ is. We don't know when the rapture, because that could happen at any time, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. So there's two trains going to heaven. There's a morning train and there's an evening train. The morning train is for all the people who are saved and get raptured out of this world before the tribulation. The evening train is for anybody who might happen to become a Christian during the hell of the tribulation. After the tribulation, they go to heaven too. And I know there's somebody sitting here this morning thinking, Kevin, I'll just wait to see if this whole thing is true. I don't get on the morning train. I'll just take the evening train. Listen to me. If you can't make a commitment to Jesus Christ now, when there's no duress and no pressure, why in the world do you think you're going to be able to commit yourself to Jesus Christ during the tribulation, when it's hell on earth and the devil is running wild and the Antichrist is going to kill you if you do? You know what? You need to get on that morning train and get out of Dodge before the trouble even starts. Is there a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, listen to this sermon right now? You are not saved. You are not a Christian. You've never prayed that prayer. You've never committed your life to Jesus Christ. Crazy times like these, you have got to know where you stand with God.
Amen.
Would you pray with me? Lord, I am looking for one person today, one person who doesn't know You, that they would come to Christ and come to salvation. Lord, these are awesome words You've given us this text today. This is the plan. This is the plan of world history. This is the plan for the ages. There is an evil kingdom coming, a kingdom of the Antichrist. We just thank You, Lord, that there is a kingdom coming too, the kingdom of God. Lord, we've got a choice. We can stay down here, kingdom of this world turns into the kingdom of the devil, or we can choose to receive You as our Savior and go to the kingdom of heaven. I just pray for one person right now. Lord, is listening to Your Holy Spirit, that they would just pray that prayer. Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. I acknowledge that You are the Savior. You died on the cross and shed Your blood. Pay the price for my sin. And right now, I receive You into my heart, trusting Your blood to forgive me. Receive You into my heart as my Savior. I pray You start living Your life through me. I just pray, Lord, for somebody who has prayed that prayer, You convince them, Lord, that that is real and that's true. All these things You ask in Your name, and thank You. Amen.